There's a well-known and oft-cited experiment that was done by Stanford University's Bing School of Nursery, their nursery school. I didn't know that Stanford University had a nursery school. I'm not sure exactly what that even is. But there's a well-known experiment that was done, and research has been well-documented on this study, where they gave children, four-year-old children, a marshmallow. And they offered them the opportunity to eat the marshmallow if they would like, as little children would probably enjoy a sweet treat of a marshmallow. But they told the children, if you can wait 15 minutes and not eat the marshmallow, then you'll be given a second marshmallow. And they videotaped the children, and they watched as they grappled with this challenge. Some ate the marshmallow immediately. They couldn't control themselves. Others squirmed in their chair for a little bit of time, eventually ate the marshmallow. Some were able to go the full 15 minutes, and they found that those children at the age of four who were able to delay that gratification of eating the marshmallow turned out down the road to be much better at life, generally speaking. There's a book that came out in 2012 by someone named Frank Partnoy called Wait, The Art of Science and Delay. And he describes this experiment, and he writes, you don't have it on the page in front of you, since those tests, researchers have found again and again that children who can delay the reaction end up happier and more successful than their snap-reacting playmates. They are superior at building social skills, feeling empathy, and resolving conflicts, and they have higher cognitive ability. Kids with good preschool-age delay skills have higher self-esteem later in life, cope better with stress, are less likely to use cocaine and crack, and aren't nearly as overweight. Children who can decide to wait do better in life. That's what he writes. And there's a fascinating amount of research that's done on this. There's actually a school in Philadelphia, an academy in Philadelphia called the KIPP Academy. KIPP stands for Rosh Yeshivos Knowledge is Power Program, KIPP, Knowledge is Power Program. And they give out T-shirts to their students as they try to empower them to be thinking and knowledgeable and educated people. They give out T-shirts emblazoned with the slogan on it, "Don't eat the marshmallow." Because they're encouraging them to understand that if you become an impulsive person, and you don't have self-control, and you don't have discipline, so eventually it's going to emerge in some very, very unhealthy ways in life. And this issue, this sugya of self-control, of restraint, is something that finds very unique expression by the Jewish people, in particular in this week's Parsha. But before we get to the Parsha, I want to go back to the beginning of creation and ask a not-so-simple question. How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world? What are we even asking? That's a very weighty shiloh. I'm not asking why, I'm asking how. Not that that makes it any easier. How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world? So, if you look in the writings of the Arizal, through the words of his Talmud, Rav Chaim Vital, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, source number one, one of the most essential and basic works of Kabbalah, the Eitz Chaim, Rav Chaim Vital describes as follows. Now, everything's a mashal, nothing here is literal, but it's a mashal that helps us to understand conceptually how it's possible for the world to even exist. And when I say exist, again, it's all perception. Ein od milvado. In truth, there's nothing other than a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We don't actually exist. That's a complicated topic to talk about. It's even stranger to think about, right? To understand in a very literal sense, there is nothing other than Hashem, even after creation of the world. But there's a perception that we exist. So how does that perception even work? So Rav Chaim Vital writes in source number one, Da, you should know. Ki terem shenetzlu hanetzalim v'nivro hanivram. Before HaKadosh Baruch Hu even created the perception that there is anything that is created, anything that is removed in some sense from him. Before all of that, Hayaor Elyon Pashut Mamale Kol HaMetzius. There was a heavenly light, a simple and wholesome heavenly light that filled all of reality. Now God is not a beam of light. And again, this is all B'derach Mashal. It's a parable. It's a way for us to pretend we understand how the world works. But it's a good mashal. It was an Or Elyon, a divine light, a spiritual illumination that filled all of reality. V'lo hayashum makom panoi bebechinas avir rekani v'chalal. And because Hashem filled all space, even though there was no concept of space, if you can imagine such a thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu filled all of reality, there was no place for anything else. There was no makom panoi, there was no empty space. There was no halal. There was no void. There was no avir ekani. There was no empty airspace in which to create the world. And when I say the world, I'm not just talking about planets, all the olamos and all of the angels and everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. Ela kol hayim mamula min or, aleph samach stands for Ein Sof. Everything was filled with the light of Ein Sof, the infinite one. Pashut hahu. A perfect, wholesome, infinite, all-encompassing light. Velo hayalo b'chinas rosh, velo b'chinas sof. There was no starting point, there was no ending point. Ela kol haya or, it was all one or, pashut shava bashva achas, vehu hanikra or Ein Sof. And that's what we call the or Ein Sof, the infinite light of God. Says Rav Chaim Vital, where it's bolded, v'kasher ala b'ritzono ha-pashut livro ha-olamos, when it entered into a Kadosh Baruch Hu, when it went up, so to speak, into the mind of God, into the desire of God. You can't really explain someone's desire, so we don't understand why Hashem wanted to make the world, but He did. When it entered the mind of Hashem, so to speak, to create the world, u'la'atzil ha-ne'atzalim, la'hotzi la'or shleimis pu'ulosav v'shemosav v'kinuyav, Asher zos haisa siba brias haolamos, by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu would allow His name and the manifestations of His name and His character and all the things that God wants to do, so to speak, to actually take place. Hine oz simtzem es atzmo ein sof. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to contract Himself. Hashem had to, so to speak, restrict Himself, restrain Himself, to restrict and to constrict and to pull back on Himself. Again, picture this infinite light filling all space. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to peel back the light, so to speak, to carve out a chalal panoi, an empty space in the middle, in which we could exist. And that's what He did. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulled back the lights, as Rav Chaim Vital, to the side, creating, so to speak, that, again, makom panoi, that chalal, that void in the middle, and within that void is all of reality. Ah, you'll ask a kasha, you'll say, so if Hashem left the space, so how do we exist? So after He left the space, He then filtered His light in a very specific way, controlled and contained way back into that space, giving us a little bit of the light, which allows us to believe that there's a God in the world. But there's a perception that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has left the space. Hashem pulled Himself back, carving out that space for us to exist. Why are we learning this? Because I want to share with you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, in creating the world, had to show restraint. He had to restrain His essence, again, as understood by this infinite light, this Or Ein Sof, in order to make room for us to exist. So therefore, halacha l'maisa, what do we learn from that? We see that the underpinnings of reality is restraint, is constriction, is being able to hold back, to pull back on something. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. We come to the first pasuk of the Chumash, Bereishis Bara Elokim Eis HaShemayim Ve'Eis HaAretz. And immediately you encounter the name of God, not Yudke Vavke, not Hashem's name of Chesed, which means expansion, but God's name of Midas Hadin, Elokim, Gvura, Ezehu Gibor HaKovesh, Es Yitzro, it says in Pirkei Avos. Who is one who is strong? One who holds back. Restraint. You see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in creating the world, as much as we think Hashem is building outwards, Hashem is expressing Himself, is doing more and more, all of it is again against this backdrop of Elokim, of a God who's holding Himself, His true self, back in order to allow for a sun and the moon and the stars and plants and fish and birds and people and everything that exists in the Sheishes Yimei Bereishis. It's all against the backdrop of Bereishis Bara Elokim. So now it's time for Hashem to give man the mission statement. And we read in source number 3. Bereishis Perek Beis. Vayikach Hashem Elokim es ha'adam vayanicheu began Eden la'ovdu u'lishamra. V'yitzav Hashem Elokim ala Adam lemor mikol eitz hagan ochol tochel u'me'eitz hadas tovera lo sochal mimenu ki b'yom achalchol mimenu mos tamus. I deliberately didn't translate it as we went because I want to respond to these psukim the way that we normally respond, which is God told Adam and Chava, don't eat this tree. Restrictions. The main way to win the game in Gan Eden is what? Is have restraint. Don't give in to the temptation of eating from the tree. Now, to be honest and to be fair, if we read the Psukim carefully, and Chazal did, and certainly the Svarim of more recent times did as well, right? Even though we read the Pasuk and we see, Elokim, that's God telling us to control ourselves. Lishamra, guard the garden. Yeah, that means hold yourself back. Me'etz hadas tovara, don't eat. We see all the negative. It jumps out at us. But the truth is Hashem Elokim in the Pasuk, the two names of God. And it's not just L'shamra, we're not just playing defense in Gan Eden. La'avda u'L'shamra. There's a mitzvah saseh, there's something positive you're supposed to do in the garden. What is that positive command? Mikol etagan achol tochel. Eat, enjoy. Eat everything. And also, control yourself. If there's one thing I'm asking you not to eat. But for the most part, when we look at Gan Eden, right, we think of it, and then we think of the failure of Adam and Chava, not that they didn't eat enough of the fruit that was permitted to them, but that they crossed the line, they didn't have restraint, they didn't have self-control when it came to the thing they were not supposed to eat. But again, let's be honest and let's be fair with the Pesukim for a moment. There is a balance that we're trying to strike. There is a balance of Hashem Elokim, La'avda u'Lishamra. Eat from these trees, but also don't eat from this tree. All of life is a balance of Sur Meira Va'aseh Tov. I wanted to share with you one interesting remez and a fascinating couple of midrashim. And then we'll come back to our main point. But the Yalkut Shimoni in Parshas Noach, in source number 4, tells us about a time before time. What do I mean by a time before time? Says the Medrash, Tuf, Tuf, Kuf, Ayin, Dalid, Doros, Ad Shalo Nivra HaOlam, 974 generations before Hashem created the world. Now, there was no time before God, so what does that mean, 974 generations? And what is the secret of that random number, 974? 974 generations before creation of the world, Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, as it were, was sitting, Vidarash, and he was expounding, and he was analyzing, and he was refining, and he was examining, Kol HaTorah Kula. Hashem was sitting with his Torah, checking it out for 974 generations. Second line of source number 4, Umiyom Shenivra HaOlam Ad Osa Shah, V'chol Davar V'davar Shehumi Divrei Torah. And until that time arrived, and everything that would be created from the Torah was being analyzed, was being assessed. Darsho, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was darshening it, and Hashem was being choyker, Hashem was analyzing it, and he was boichein, he was testing it, he was checking it. Vitzarfo, and he was refining it, beramach pa'amim, 248 times, corresponding to the 248 limbs of the human body. As if to say, Hashem was testing out the Torah to make sure it's a perfect fit for us. And afterwards, Hashem gave us the Torah, a beautiful Torah, Imros Hashem, Imros Tahoros, a beautiful Torah. And everything is established according to the Torah, says the Medrash, and if we stray one iota, God forbid, the world could collapse. Okay? 974 generations. Hashem is sitting with the Torah, perfecting the Torah. Another Medrash, a Medrash in Tehillim, and this reflects the actual giving of the Torah, says the Medrash in Tehillim in source number 5, on the Pasuk, Zachar li'olam b'riso, davar tziva le'elef dor, davar tziva le'elef dor, his word was commanded le'elef dor, after 1,000 generations, says the Medrash, Amar b'levi b'shem Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, Teisha meos v'shivim v'arba doros, 974 generations, mashahaya ro'oi la'amon mehem, that could have been, that should have existed, were all what? Were all erased b'dor ha'mabul. They were wiped out by the dor ha'mabul. The original plan was to give the Torah after 1,000 generations. When was the Torah actually given? How many generations from creation? Says the Medrash, 26 generations. 10 generations from Adam to Noach, 10 generations from Noach to Avraham, 6 generations from Avraham to Moshe, 26 generations. But the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Davar Tziva Le'elef Dor. So what happened to the other 974? Apparently they were lost somewhere along the way. What does that mean? Very strange. So I saw an interesting remez in the Sefer Ner David from the late Scholia Rebbe, a Holocaust survivor, a tzaddik who passed away in the 1970s. In his writings on Chanukah, from the year Tav Shin Chav Tes. And he writes in source number 6, V'yesh l'havin b'kavanas ha-mispar, Tav Tav Kufayin Dalet. You find it in quite a few Mamari Chazal, this 974 generations that were lost, or these 974 generations that preceded the world as we know it, where Hashem was busy perfecting the Torah. What's the secret of 974? V'yesh l'omar, he writes where it's bolded. D'chol tachlis ha-briyahu l'kayim sur me'rav ha-aseh tov. Our world, our lives are meant to be lived with this tremendous balance, this precision of what? Of sur meira, avoiding negativity, va'aseh tov, and getting involved in positivity. And the reason, again, we're going through this is to remind ourselves that in Gan Eden, there were mitzvos and there were averos. We think about the avero. Don't eat the tree. Stay away from the Eitz Hadas. But that's not the whole story. We were told to get involved in a positive sense with those trees we're allowed to eat. And also avoid the tree that you're not supposed to eat. So there's a balance of what? In a healthy, balanced religious life, I have to balance not doing the wrong things and doing the right things. Sur me'rava ase tov. Says the Holy Scholia Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, in source number 6, he says, if that's the balance of the world, V'ra'a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem saw, as it were, Sheba Osan Tav Tav Kuf Ayin Dalad Leika Sur Me'rava Ase Tov, V'hev Yerosam. Those 974 generations that disappeared, that were wiped out somewhere in the Dor HaMabul, God saw that they weren't able to strike this balance. They didn't know how to have restraint. They didn't know how to listen to God in a positive sense. They weren't living a proper spiritual life. So Hashem wiped them out. And he says, Remez Ladavar, a hint to this idea, is that the phrase, Sur Meira Va'ase Tov, is Gematria 974. Okay. The words of a tzaddik, we heard it here tonight. So again, there's a balance that has to always be maintained within the world. But again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, when he began, it was about restraint. Bereshis bara Elokim, restraint. Midas Hadin, holding back. Again, as much as Gan Eden was a balance, but again, the thing that stands out, the thing that we focus on, the failure of Gan Eden was not, again, a failure in Ase Tov. It was a lack of control. It was a lack of restraint. And therefore, our job is to try to walk in the footsteps of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way Hashem created the world, the way Hashem commanded us in Gan Eden, and to be people who, again, obviously a balance, but who learn to have that self-control. Who are able to, so to speak, wear the t-shirt, I didn't eat the marshmallow. You know, I had the self-control. I knew how to wait for the right moment. I didn't take things at the wrong time. What's the challenge of Sur Meira? What's the challenge of not doing the wrong thing? What's the challenge of not doing the wrong thing? There's a tzaddik of Shlomo of Zhvil, in a small little sefer called Yesod Tzaddik, in source number 7. He says, you have to realize, had Adam and Chava not eaten from that tree, it would have been a tremendous success. They had such an opportunity. We sometimes look at avoiding doing the wrong thing as not so glorious, it's not so heroic. When I do good things, I feel good about myself. But when I don't do improper things, when I avoid lowly or wrong things, evil things, negative things, so I'm just not a bad person. I don't feel that avoiding negativity is something positive, but we should. Write to the Yesod Tzaddik in source number 7. Matzinu b'Torah. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu sam es ha'adam harishon began Eden kodem shezacha v'terem kiyem af mitzvah achas. Think about it. What mitzvah did Adam do to earn Gan Eden? The answer is nothing. He hadn't done anything in a positive sense. So in a certain sense, you don't have to do anything good to be the recipient of God's blessing, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shefa. V'lo girshu misham ad she'aver avera. And Hashem didn't kick him out for not doing enough good. Hashem kicked him out for not being able to have the self-control to avoid doing something bad. Ki Elokim ases ha'adam yashar. Because Hashem made a person yashar, straight. Ba'ofen she'yachol teikaf u'miyad l'kabal ha'shefa. Hashem made it that you are worthy of receiving Hashem's bracha without doing anything. Status quo is you're good. All I ask of you, or primarily what I ask of you, is don't do bad. And that's what Hashem told Adam and Chava in Gan Eden, don't do bad. Rakazihiras milachto, don't sin. Don't go against Hashem. And that's what the pasuk says, aflo pa'olu avla bidrachav halachu. Says David HaMelech in Tehillim, if you didn't do avla, if you didn't do something evil, you didn't do something negative, that's bidrachav halachu, that's walking in the ways of Hashem. B'mashalo oisim avla nechshav bidrachai halachu. By not going against me, Hashem says, you're going with me. And therefore says Rosh Shlomo of Israel, nimtza ki yesh li zar milachto chas v'shalom, yoser milach zor achar mitzvos. Therefore defense is more important than offense. Right? I think they say that in sports. No, the best offense is a good defense. There's a lashon like that, Shlomo, yes? Okay? The best offense is a good defense. More than Hashem wants you to enjoy the garden, and that was a mitzvah. Eat the fruit, enjoy the fruit. But don't, the one that I asked, the thing I asked you not to do, I said it very seriously. Hashem said, I asked you not to eat from this tree. And if they would have been more nizhar, more cautious, in not going against Hashem, then they would have remained in Gan Eden, even if they weren't doing so much good. But again, the challenge of not doing the wrong thing is that it doesn't feel very good. It doesn't feel like very much. Again, when I do good things, I feel like I'm osek, I'm involved, I'm busy with good things. When I don't do bad things, so I'm not a bad person. But that's a mistake. That's not the right way to look at it. That's not the way that Chazal wants us to look at it. It's not the way that Hashem structured reality. The Mishnah tells us at the end of Maseches Makos, in source number 8. Rabbi Shimon Omer, and this is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So you know it's a deep interpretation of Judaism. Rabbi Shimon taught us, Mi mekomo hu lamad. From its place we learn, from the Torah itself we learn the following rule. Shenemar. V'nichrisu ha-nefashos ha-osos. In the context of Arayos, in the context of the Torah's prohibited relations and relationships, the Torah says, those who do this, v'nichrisu, will be cut off. V'omer, asher ya'aseh osam ha'adam v'chai behem. Through the performance of mitzvos, do mitzvos, and you will live. Now, what's the context? Do this and you will live. All the things you're not supposed to do. Don't do acts of Arayos. And by doing this, you will live. So explains Bar Yochai. Says the Mishnah in Makos, where it's bolded. Hakol hayoshev v'lo avar avera nosnim lo schar ka'od mitzvah. From the fact that it says in the Pasuk, you will be granted great life for doing. Doing what? Doing not averos. So says Rishimon, apparently a person who sits in his place, a person who's tempted out of his seat and to do the wrong thing and holds back and acts like Hashem in creating the world and holds oneself back. The person who has that good piece of Lashon Hara to say holds back. So how do you feel? Do you feel like you did something so heroic, so great? I didn't do the wrong thing. But you should feel good about yourself because you could have done the wrong thing. And you held yourself back. Nosin lo schar ka'osa mitzvah. Asher yasa osam. If you do these things, in other words, not getting involved in acts of Arayos, then v'chai b'hem. It's as if you did something and you're given long life. Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva explains, we often think mitzvahs aseh are the way to accrue merit. It's not true. Mitzvahs lo saseh count a lot, and a lot more than we give ourselves credit for. Writes Rabbeinu Yonah in source number 9, Ulam yimatzei derech bischar hanizhar me'avur al mitzvahs lo saseh. There's a way to accrue merit by avoiding lo saseh, by not doing averos, by not doing the wrong thing. Asher haseg yasig l'schar osa mitzvah. Where you'll attain a level of reward that is comparable to one who does mitzvos. Kigon, for example, im hizdamein dvar avera liyad ha'ish. An avera comes your way and you're tempted by it, whatever it may be. Vis'ava tava l'dvar erva. For example, a person is tempted by some type of sexual immoral activity. V'kavash yitzro. And the person says, this is not what a Jew does. V'kavash yitzro. You hold back. This is a fundamental expression of what? Of belief in God. That I realize that Hashem is watching me. I realize this is not something that a Jew does. I realize that my Yitzhar is trying to convince me to move ahead, but I'm Yoishev, velo avar avera, like the Mishnah said. I sit in my place and I don't do the avera. Says Rabbeinu Yonav, gam schar hazeh ikaro v'yesodo mitzvah saseh. And the truth is, you think you're just avoiding negativity. You're doing a positive commandment. What is the positive commandment that you're doing? Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. The positive command of fearing Hashem. You think, I'm just holding back. I'm not doing the wrong thing. But when you're not doing the wrong thing, give yourself some credit. You're doing the right thing. That's how Hashem made the world. That's how Hashem set up Gan Eden. And this expression of Yiras Shamayim is probably the greatest gift you can give Hashem. What can we give Hashem? Is there anything we can give Hashem? Hakol bidei Shamayim chutz mi Yiras Shamayim, says the Gemara. There's really only one thing that we can, so to speak, give to Hashem. The Gemara in Brachos says, everything is in the hands of Hashem, except for Yiras Hashem. That we can give Him. By showing Him that we respect Him enough to listen, and to not to violate His command, that's how we can show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we care about Him, kiviyachol. That's how we can show Hashem we want to be like Him. You held yourself back to make space for us. We're going to hold ourselves back to make space for you. And that's a good feeling. That's a really good feeling. I remember I once saw a funny quote from a magician. He said, "No man in the world has more courage than the man who can stop after eating one peanut." No man in the world has more courage than the man who can stop after eating a single peanut. Try it. You know, try taking one jelly bean from the bowl and saying, "I'm good, that's it, I'm done." Right? When there's so much more in front of you. But that ability to have self-control, to have restraint, to not just give in to something because it's there. Practice it. There's ways to practice it. Practice it. Catch yourself about to do something that you shouldn't and hold yourself back. And compliment yourself for doing that. Realize that it's not that I just avoided something negative. I did something positive. The Belzer Rebbe, I once read in the Shemitah year, went out and bought himself gardening tools. Who buys gardening tools for a Shemitah year? Shemitah, we don't work the land. The Belzer Rebbe, needless to say, wasn't a farmer, right? But he wanted to have the opportunity to not farm in the Shemitah year. But he didn't have any farming tools. So he went out, he bought himself farming tools, and then he didn't use them during Shemitah. He wanted to be mekayim, the mitzvah of Shemitah that way. I have the tools, I could do, but I'm holding myself back. Because he understood, it's not a joke, that's the power of a person who shows restraint. There's something very beautiful about making that choice to control myself, to not give in to that temptation. You know, the Pringles ad is like, once you pop, you can't stop, right? But you can stop. You could choose to stop. You could eat one peanut and stop. You could eat one bowl of chol and not take the second bowl of chol, right? You could have spoken one word of Lashon Hara and say, you know what, but I don't have to speak the second word of Lashon Hara. I can catch myself that second time. I'm not an animal. I'm a human being with Bechira, with a neshama of HaKadosh Baruch Hu inside of me, and I can have self-control. The Chazon Ish wrote in a beautiful letter, in the collected letters of the Chazon Ish in source number 10, V'ikur chiyus adam shviras hamidos. The main way that we feel life is by what? Is by breaking or refining our character. Of not being a person who's impulsive, who eats the marshmallow just because it happens to be there in front of you. If it's tzaddikim yitzra masr biyadam. True tzaddikim have unbelievable self-control. Remarkable self-control. Their Yetzirah is in their hands. V'lohem misurim biyad yitzram. They're not subservient to the Yetzirah. That's what these parshas are about. We're coming out of Mitzrayim. We're coming to our Sinai. We're meshubit to Torah and mitzvot. I'm not enslaved to my Yetzirah. I don't work for Paro. V'alo zehu ha'oneg ha'yoser arev. V'yoser na'im. Says the Chazon Ish, there's nothing more sweet and more pleasant lishlot beruach habahami than to be in control of my animalistic urges. V'zeh oneg masmir umeshiv nefesh. This restores a person's soul. It gives a person, or it should give a person, this unbelievable sense of accomplishment. But we don't give ourselves credit in this way. We only give ourselves credit for the things that we do. When I don't do the bad thing, okay, so I didn't do a bad thing. But being in control is being like Hashem. And being in control and showing restraint and not giving in to that temptation is an opportunity for us to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu how much we care, to be able to taste the sweetness that the Chazon Ish is describing here, and again, to justify all of creation. And now we come back to this week's Parsha. Where do we see? We saw it by creation, we saw it in Gan Eden, and now it's time to really get the world going. Kabbalah Satorah. That's the purpose of the world. Bereishis Bishvil Torah Shenikra Reishis. That's why God made the world, for the sake of the Torah, that the Jewish people should come to Har Sinai. And on our way to Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has very, very clear rules. Says the Torah in this week's Parsha, Perek Yud Tes, source number 11. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Leich el Ha'am. Hashem's very excited for Kabbalah Satorah. But you got to tell the Jews, here are the rules. Kidashtem hayom u'machar. Sanctify yourself, purify yourself, get yourself ready. Chibsu sim loisam. Launder your clothing. V'hayu nechonim liyom ha'shlishi. Be ready on the third day. Hashem is going to present himself to the world like never before. God is going to descend on Har Sinai. And Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, set up boundaries. Make sure there's a gevul. There are boundaries. Show a person where they're allowed to go and where they're not allowed to go on Har Sinai. He shamru lachem alos bahar. Be careful not to ascend the mountain. Ungo bekatzeu, or to even touch the edge of the mountain. Kol anogeya bahar mos yumas. Don't touch the mountain. When it's all over, says the pasuk, you'll hear the sound of the shofar, then the mountain's back to being a regular mountain. But while the presence of God is on the mountain, don't you dare go up the mountain. Don't even touch the mountain. The psukim continue describing the sights and the sounds of our Sinai, the kolos, and the awesome lapidim, and the voice of Hashem, and everything starts to happen. And all of a sudden, Pasachaf Aleph, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has already descended upon the mountain, and Hashem calls Moshe, time out. What do you mean? We started already. Right? Everything's rolling. The thunder, the lightning, the sights and the sounds of our Sinai. All of a sudden Hashem says, hold on, time out, Moshe, got to talk to you for a second. Mamash right in the Pesukim, he calls him over, Pasachaf Aleph, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Raid hey aid ba'am, calls Moshe over, Vayal Moshe, and the Pasachaf, Moshe goes up, Hashem says to him, I need you to go back down and tell the people a message. Raid ha'ed ba'am, where it's bolded, go inform the people, remind the people, pen yehersu al Hashem lir'os v'nafal mimenu raf. In case people are going to try to break through the barriers to cross those lines, those boundaries, remind the people they're not allowed to do this. V'gam ha'kohanim hanigashim al Hashem yiskadashu. And the Kohanim also, by the way, have to play by the rules. They also have to maintain their purity. Pen yifrot behem Hashem. Vayomer Moshe el Hashem. So Moshe says back to Hashem, why are we going over this again? Right? I mean, this is the dress rehearsal is over. This is happening. Kabbalah Sator is happening now. Lo yuchalam la'alos al Har Sinai. People can't come up the mountain. We already set up the boundaries. We worked this all out already. What are we talking about? Ki atahei dosa banu lemor. You already told me. Hashem, maybe you forgot. You already told me, Hagbel es ahar v'kidashta. We did all this. We practiced all this. Everyone's in position. Why are we going over it again? Vayom re'elav Hashem, lech re'ed. Hashem says, go back down and tell the Jews what I'm telling you. Va'alisa ata va'aron imach. You and Aaron take your positions. Va'kohanim va'am. Rashi explains there were four levels at our Sinai. Moshe, one border. Aaron, next border. Kohanim, next border. Klal Yisrael, the fourth section. Everyone has to have their place. Remind people to maintain their place. Al yersu la'alos el Hashem pen yifrot zbam. Vayered Moshe alam, vayomer aleihem. So Moshe goes down and he tells them the report. Why are we repeating this? Why are we going over this whole thing again? What are we worried about? Do we not trust Klal Yisrael? We think that they're going to, all of a sudden, they're going to storm the mountain. What exactly is the concern here? And let's ask one other question. How did it come to be that we were the lucky recipients of the Torah? So we're all familiar with the Midrashim. The Midrashim tell us that Hashem didn't only offer us the Torah, He offered it to the whole world. The Medrash in the second to last source, the Medrash Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer in Perek Mem Aleph, tells us that Hashem went around the world and He was offering the Torah to all of the nations of the world. Where it's bolded, He goes to Esav, He goes to Har Seir, Ve'ein Seir El B'nei Esav, and He asks them, where it's bolded in the third line, in source number 12, in the Medrash Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mekablam Atem Es HaTorah? Are you interested in receiving My Torah? Amru lo, Maksiv Ba, Nu, what's written in it? Amar lehem, Lo Tirtzach, not allowed to kill. Sorry, I don't think that's going to work for us. Right? We've already been promised, Al Char B'cha Tichya. We were told that we're going to live by the sword. So that's not going to work. Okay. So Hashem tries someone else. Continuing again where it's bolded. Misham Chazar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and He displayed Himself to the Bnei Yishmael. And He says, Nu, would you like to take the Torah? Once again, they say to Him, Nu, Maksiv Ba. What's written in your Torah? Amar Lehem Lo Signov. Not allowed to steal. Sorry, not for us. Okay. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes around to each of the nations of the world, says the Medrash where it's bolded. Misham Shalach Lachol Umos HaOlam. Hashem goes to every nation. We're the last on His list. You understand? Hashem goes to Esav, Hashem goes to Yishmael. No one wants it. V'amar lehem makavlam etz haTorah. So everyone says to Him, Nu, what's in your Torah? Hashem says, it says, Lo yeh lecha Elohim acherim. If you want Torah, you got to take Me. No other gods. Sorry, we have too many other gods. We're not going to be able to do that. Okay. Einanu chaveitzim b'Torah elatein tarascha la'amecha. So the nations say, you know what? Why don't you give the Torah to your people? Which is such an ironic way to speak. You've already chosen us. Give the Torah to your nation. Hashem says, good idea. And from there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to Klal Yisrael and He presented the Torah to us. Hashem oz la'amo yitain. Hashem yevarech es amo bashalom. Hashem gave us the Torah. Mefarshim asked the following question. Did Hashem think that the Bnei Esav were going to take the Torah after He told them lo sirtzach? In other words, Hashem told them, if you want My Torah, you have to give it. There's no way they're going to give it up. Hashem dafka highlighted the thing that made it impossible for them to choose Torah. And they rejected it. Hashem went to Yishmael. Do you want the Torah? What's in it? Hashem picks their Achilles heel, the hardest thing for them to give up. No, that's not for us. And then Hashem, by default, gives the Torah to us. So the Mefarshim asks the following question. And we're going to learn an unbelievable insight. The Mefarshim asks, so why did Hashem just give it to us? Why didn't Hashem challenge us and ask us to give up our greatest temptation? And the Mefarshim explained that Hashem did. It's quoted in the name of the Maharal, although I didn't see it in the Maharal's writings, but it could be it's there. It's other Sfarim bring it as well. An amazing Yesod. You know what Hashem asked us to do? You know how difficult it was for Esav to give up Lo Sirtzach? Impossible. You know how hard it is for Yishmael to give up Lo Signov, or other versions of the Medrash, Lo Sinaf, to give up his temptation? It's basically impossible. You're asking the impossible. So you know what Hashem challenged us with on the way to Har Sinai? He asked us to do something which is the antithesis of everything we are as Jews. You know what that is? Hagbalah. Hagbalah. Boundaries. You know why? Because as Jews, we want so badly to break through those boundaries. We want so badly to just do and to do. We're such good people. We're such doers. Naaseh v'nishma. We love to do. Naaseh. We love to do. There's no one who's changed the world through doing like the Jewish people. We don't just sit in our corner and philosophize. We do. We shape the world. So we want, when we're standing at our Sinai, we want to get as close as we can possibly get. And Hashem says, before you get the Torah, I'm going to ask you to do something really, really, really difficult. The same thing I had to do when I created the world. The same thing I challenged Adam and Chava to do in Gan Eden. And now I'm challenging you to do the same thing. And what is that? Higbalta. Show restraint. Show that you can hold yourself back. But we want to be close to Hashem. That's very nice. But you need to show restraint. The foundation of Torah is being able to control yourself. Is being able to restrain yourself a little bit. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to repeat to Klal Yisrael, Mamish, as they're standing at the mountain, don't cross those boundaries. Moshe says, God, they got it already. And Hashem says, no, you don't know Klal Yisrael as much as I do. You can't imagine how much of a burning desire they have to cross those boundaries with the purest intentions. Going into Kodesh Kadashim, as the children of Aaron died a tragic but holy death by crossing that line that they weren't allowed to cross because we just want to be closer and closer. It's hard to hold back. It's difficult to hold back. But the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in creating the world, so to speak, had the Mesiras Nefesh to pull himself back to make space for us, our job is to be able to follow the Torah and to know there's a time and a place for things. To hold ourselves back, to show restraint. Again, in Gan Eden, Hashem wants us to have plenty of pleasure. But Hashem wants us to do it in a certain context that's rooted primarily in what? In hold yourself back. That's how we earn our Gan Eden. By being people of self-control. That's the antithesis. That's the hardest challenge for Jews. And it's to our credit that we want so badly to just do and to do and to do. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says if you want to be successful in Torah, it's not just overcompensating in the Aseh Tov. It's learning the Midah of Sur Meira. Of having that restraint. Of being able to say there's a time and a place for everything. And if Hashem says, now is not the time, then now is not the time. Tonight is the Yahrzeit site, the 19th of Shvat. Tonight and tomorrow is the Yahrzeit site of one of my favorite tzaddikim, who I know primarily through his Torah, through his teachings, the Divrei Shmuel of Slonim. Happens to be his last name is Weinberg. Whenever people show up at our door collecting tzedakah and I say, my name's Weinberg, they're like, oh, Slonim? I have no idea. Slonim? I don't know. Father doesn't know. I don't know. That's my Mesorah. We don't know. I have no idea if we come from Slonim. I don't think we do. But the Divrei Shmuel, or Shmuel Weinberg of Slonim, passed away on the 19th of Shvat. And in his writings, this Divrei Shmuel, beautiful, beautiful Chassidus Torah, beautiful Divrei Torah, he explains in the final source, Mi yitein tar mitame lo echad. Eov, in all of his philosophizing, he says, Mi yitein tar mitame. Who could bring forth tahor from tame? Who could bring forth purity from impurity? Right? Could something impure give birth to something pure? Could an impure animal give birth to a kosher animal? Lo echad. No one. No one could do such a thing. The way Chazal actually understand this pasuk is that mi yitein tar mitame, who could bring forth such a paradox, something pure from something impure? Lo echad, only Hashem. And they use as an example Avram Avinu, who came from a home of idolatry and a society of idolatry, and he broke away to become Klal Yisrael, which is, again, an amazing thing to think about, that Dafka, the founder of the Jewish people, so to speak, came from such an unholy place. But the way that the Divrei Shmuel explains, B'derech Hasidus, he says, what does it mean, mi yitein tar mitame? You know how we can go from Tameh and to bring forth Tahara, to bring forth purity and holiness from a place of Tumah? Lo Echad. Lo Echad. What does it mean? Al Yedei Hachlata Nechusha Achas Ulatamid. If a person makes a commitment and does so, Lo Echad. If you say no even one time in a strong and serious way, it could change your life. Had Adam and Chava said no to the Nachash, and they said it with confidence, it would have been a different world. But they couldn't say no. They couldn't resist that temptation. They didn't understand how meaningful and how purposeful that no would have been to uphold Gan Eden. Because it didn't feel heroic. It doesn't feel heroic when we reject our Yetzirah. It doesn't feel like we're accomplishing anything. But sometimes Lo Echad can be the difference between Tar and Tameh, between a life of sanctity and service of Hashem, and God forbid, crossing a boundary that could be so destructive. When a person says nine, he says, a single nine, a single no. Lo eshma b'kol yitzahara. When a person's able to deny the yitzahara, and I won't listen to you, avir kol mechir shaba olam, afilu im yochiach v'yir ali kol mine heterim al zeh. Even if you try to talk me into it a million times over. Yosef HaTzadik is in Mitzrayim, and one time, Eishes Potifar, he's able to say to her in a confident way, vayima ein, no. And in that moment, he becomes a tzaddik. Forever, we call him Yosef HaTzaddik. Because one time, with confidence, he said it strong. And he was able to protect himself. Lo eshaneh af pam hachlatosi. I'll never change. Say to your Yitzhara, I'll never change. My no is an absolute no. There are lines I'm not going to cross. That's what it means to be a Jew. That's how I walk in the ways of Hashem. B'koach zeh mesugal adam lishafech mitamei letar. I can take a bad midah and I can transform it from what? From tamei to tar. It can be totally transformative. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the strength to appreciate when we're able to make the right choice by avoiding making the wrong choice. Like Rabbeinu Yonah told us, we get schar for holding back as well. It's an expression of service of Hashem, Yiras Hashem. It's again walking in the footsteps of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the very way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And Amir Tashem, we should be able to make those right choices and be able to live lives that are filled with Kedusha and Tahara. Good Shabbos. Don't eat the marshmallow.